Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Lovely to see your faces this morning. And as Chris has said, we're going to be continuing our series on heroes of faith. I got this in the right one. We've all heard of the dynamic duo Batman and Robin, yes? And if you're a senior like me, you probably remember the Lone Ranger and Tonto.
Yes.
Well, today's heroes of faith are not fictional characters. They're real people, like you and I. Our dynamic duo played a crucial role in the early Christian church. They became faithful partners of Paul, and they helped him establish several churches. They're great models of faith, and their faith was active. They did something with it. So we're going to take a closer look at the lives of today's heroes, Priscilla and Aquila. There are only 6 references to them in the Bible, and they're always mentioned together. Can I flip that over? I haven't got the... See if it's going to work. Okay. But they're always mentioned together, which highlights the strength of their unity and partnership in their marriage, their work, and their ministry. We're first introduced to them in Acts 18, verses 1 to 3, which says, "After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and there he met a Jew named Aquila, who was a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed with them." I think we're on the wrong thing up there. Let's jump ahead. Can I go back to the first one? Yes, that's it. Thank you. So Aquila is a Jew. He was born in Pontus, which is part of modern-day Turkey. At some point, he ends up living in Rome with his wife Priscilla. And it's around about 49 AD that Emperor Claudius commands that the Jews leave Rome. Suetonius, a famous Roman historian, wrote that Claudius expelled the Jews of Rome since they were constantly causing disturbances at the instigation of Crestus. So who was Crestus? Now, not all scholars agree, but it's highly likely that Crestus is referring to Christ. There's one letter difference, and their spelling back in those days was often not as pedantic as maybe ours is. So the conflict involved disputes among the Jewish community between those that believed and were teaching Christ as the Messiah and those who didn't. So Aquila and Priscilla leave Rome. This is a couple who have experienced hardship and uncertainty in their lives. They know what it's like to be displaced, to have lost their home, their business, and be parted from family and friends. They have to start all over again somewhere new with what they could take with them. Yet they faced it together and they overcame their difficulties. I wonder if these scriptures that have blessed us during rough times were in their hearts and minds as they left Rome. Isaiah 41:10, "So do not fear, I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Or Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." They moved to Corinth, which is in Greece. Corinth was a bustling and diverse city. It was known for commerce, for wealth, and for its moral looseness. But it was a major centre of trade in the Roman Empire. And being tent makers, this may have been a good reason that led them there. It would be a good place to set up business. I tend to believe it was part of God's plan to lead them there, to fulfil his purpose in their lives. Because it's during Paul's second missionary journey that they meet in Corinth. Paul's a tent maker by trade, and he stays and works with them. I love how God uses difficult circumstances to bring about his will. Due to the actions of Claudius, Aquila and Priscilla are in the right place to meet Paul. And due to the relative peace under his 13-year reign, conditions were ripe for the spread of the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. Our dynamic duo overcame hardship, they established themselves in Corinth, and then they willingly helped a stranger in need by offering him a place to live and to work, so that Paul could continue to preach the gospel. And Paul ends up staying in Corinth for 18 months. We don't know for sure whether Aquila and Priscilla were Christians at this point, or whether it was during Paul's stay that they responded to the gospel. What we do know is that this married couple really did life well together. Our heroes of faith practiced hospitality. Hospitality in biblical times was not merely a social pleasantry. It was a very necessary aspect of community life and survival. Hosts were expected to provide food, shelter, and protection to their guests. And sometimes, at great personal risk, you only have to think of the story of Lot in Genesis 19, who went to great lengths to protect his visitors from the men of Sodom that surrounded his house. Mosaic law emphasizes the importance of hospitality. It instructed the Israelites to show kindness and care to outsiders because they themselves had once been strangers in Egypt. This is carried on into the New Testament, where hospitality continues to be a strong thing, especially in early Christian communities. Romans 12:13 says, "Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." The Greek word used here is philonesia, which means to entertain strangers. And although it's important to open our homes to family and friends, the hospitality it's talking about here is to strangers. Offering hospitality to others is a reflection of God's character and his relationship with mankind. In the act of welcoming strangers and outsiders, we're showing an expression of God's love and grace. We are mirroring his invitation to all people to enter into fellowship with him. Matthew 25 tells us that our acts of kindness towards others are in fact acts of service to Christ himself. Wrong way. Okay, our next mention of our heroes is a little later in the same chapter. We're looking at verses 18 to 19. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and he sailed to Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. And then carrying on in verse 19, they arrived in Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. So Priscilla and Aquila go to Ephesus as missionaries with Paul, who then goes on to encourage believers elsewhere, leaving the couple in Ephesus. Our dynamic duo are amongst the earliest Christian missionaries. Packing up and sailing to the west coast of Asia Minor, Ephesus was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire during New Testament times, and it was famous for its harbour, its roads and large population. It was a major centre of trade and religion, the perfect place with so many residents and visitors coming and going, all needing to hear the gospel. And Ephesus became a hub of early Christianity. And of course, with people coming and hearing the gospel, then they go back to where they came from and the gospel just spread like wildfire. We pick up the story in verse 24 of Priscilla and Aquila's time in Ephesus. It says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos arrived in Alexandria. He came to Ephesus, and he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor, and he taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home, and they explained the way of God more adequately. Priscilla and Aquila strengthened the early church. They were discerning mentors and teachers, and they played an important role in shaping the theological understanding of Apollos. Now, this man was an eloquent speaker. He was well educated, and he knew the scriptures, and he was preaching about Jesus with great accuracy and zeal, but he lacked a complete understanding. Our heroes of faith, discerning his potential, take him home, and they teach him the way of God. They showed great wisdom and humility in the way that they did this. The synagogue was a place together to worship and pray. It was a place for reading the Torah, and it was a venue for teaching and discussion. Priscilla and Aquila could have confronted him on the gap in his knowledge and instructed him in front of an audience. Or they could have talked about him behind his back and tarnishing his reputation. Instead, they chose to preserve his reputation. Perhaps they could see what a great and influential preacher he would be. So they privately took him aside. They welcomed him into their home, and they taught him the things he didn't know. They filled in the gaps in his knowledge about the death and resurrection of Jesus, about the indwelling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They taught him how the Holy Spirit leads and guides us, about the fruits he develops in our lives and the gifts that he makes available to us. And because of the gentle way they instructed him, he took their teaching on board, becoming fully equipped for ministry and a force for Christ in his kingdom. They helped him become an influential figure in the early church, impacting countless lives with the whole gospel, including the power available to us through the Holy Spirit. If we carried on into that chapter and we looked at verses 27 and 28, they tell us that Apollos goes off to Achaia from here in southern Greece, where he was a great help to those who believed, because he vigorously refuted the Jews in public, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. And in Corinth, he became a respected leader in the church. In fact, he was so popular, a whole faction gathered around him. And Paul addresses this in his first letter to the Corinthians, where he said that people shouldn't get into factions. We're supposed to be united under Christ. It wasn't a matter of whether they'd heard the gospel from Paul or Apollos or Cephas, who was Peter. They were followers of Christ, not of men. The success of Apollos had in the spreading the gospel shows the importance that good mentorship it has within the church. We need Priscillas and Aquilas who can teach sound doctrine and help to fully equip the saints. To be such great mentors and teachers, our dynamic duo knew the scriptures. They had studied them well. They had no doubt listened and learned and implemented what they had heard from Paul, being with him for 18 months. Our heroes were not only married, they worked together as tent makers, they were hospitable, they supported the ministries of others, and they studied the scriptures and ministered in partnership together as well. Our next reference is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. In Ephesus, our dynamic duo made their home available for church gatherings, and we see not only the development of their missionary endeavours, but the great partnership and ministry they had with Paul. Meeting in homes was the model used by the early church, as they didn't have church buildings. This act of welcoming others into their home reflected those values of hospitality, generosity, and building community. They were places for worship, prayer, teaching, and discussing the scriptures. In a home, there were facilities available so that they could prepare and eat the Lord's Supper together. And it provided an informal and comfortable setting to foster deeper relationships and bonds. It was the ideal place for all of the one another scriptures to be put into place. You know, the greet one another, accept one another, encourage one another, be hospitable to one another, teach one another, admonish one another, confess your sins to one another, comfort one another, bear one another's burdens, love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, live in harmony with one another, honour one another, show humility towards one another, pray for one another, speak truthfully to one another, and spur one another on to love and good deeds. These acts toward each other break down barriers and they foster healthy community. Where we gather is not what was important. What is important is the church, the people. The people of God, each one of us here. And although we can put these one another scriptures into practice in a small way on a Sunday morning, it's really during the rest of the week. It's in a life group setting. It's over a meal. It's a phone call. Or whenever we come alongside one another in some way that we can express our love to each other and practice these one another scriptures. It's such a vital part of what it means to be a Christian. Have you ever thought that your home is actually a resource that you can make available to God to bless others? Hebrews 10:25 tells us not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Our next scripture is found in Romans 6 and verse 3. Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." Paul calls our heroes his fellow workers in Christ. They assisted him in establishing and strengthening early Christian communities. This teaches us that together we can accomplish great things for God. We are not called to ministry on our own. It's a team effort where we all have a part to play. Priscilla and Aquila supported others in their roles as well as fulfilling their own role in church leadership. Are you called to go or to support in prayer and financially those who do? Or to teach or encourage or offer hospitality? There are an endless number of ways that we can be a part of what God is doing in the local church and further afield. If you don't know what your part in God's mission is, ask him and see where he leads you. In the meantime, Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom." If you don't know exactly what it is God wants you to do, that's not an excuse to do nothing. There's always something. And this morning on the notices, we need people to help with kids' church, with the Christmas parade. There are always things that we can be involved in. We're all called to be workers in God's kingdom. It's not just a select few. So what are you doing to help build God's kingdom? Are you about your Father's business? If we carry on down to verses 4 and 5, Paul carries on and says, They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Priscilla and Aquila have returned to Rome after Emperor Claudius dies and his command for the Jews to leave is revoked. Once again, they have opened their home up to the church as a meeting place. Wherever they were faithfully serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour is not in vain." And we are called to serve God faithfully like our heroes today. This requires perseverance on our part and an ever-deepening relationship with Him. It's important to stay the path and serve as God leads, using your giftings and talents to serve others. We have to push through the trials and difficult times in life, remaining faithful to God and the work of His kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." And in Galatians 6:9, we're encouraged not to become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for Paul. And not only is he grateful to them, but he says all the Gentile churches are grateful too. There are 7 books in the New Testament that all scholars agree on were written by Paul. And there are another 6 that they're still debating over, whether it was Paul or maybe one of his followers that did it. Either way, that's 13 out of 27 books in the New Testament that might never have been written. In them, he deals with theological issues. He gives moral guidance and practical aspects of Christian living, which we and the early church may not have had. His missionary exploits would have ended, and his ongoing support and encouragement to the fledgling Gentile church would have ended. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us the circumstances involved when Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives. Maybe it was during the riots in Ephesus, but that's not important. What is important is that this amazing couple put their lives on the line for Paul, and because they did, he lived. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And this is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Aquila and Priscilla didn't die, but they were willing to. Their intervention saved Paul, and he is generous in his recognition of them. Our heroes of faith chose to put another before themselves. This morning we prayed for the persecuted church, and every week it reminds us that there are many Christians around the world who are persecuted and still dying for their faith, especially those in leadership and preaching the gospel. Here in New Zealand, it's not a struggle that we currently endure. So what does it look like for us to lay down our lives for one another? I believe it involves supporting our fellow believers, both here and our missionaries overseas, with our tithes and offerings and our prayers. It's about devoting time and energy into the local church. Can you open up your home and offer hospitality to others? Can you serve? Helping out at our table on a Thursday or Gampismo with Susie up the peninsula? With Food Bank? I've already mentioned Kids Church and Youth. Helping in the kitchen, cleaning up afterwards. So we're going to have everyone helping to clear out this place today, I can see. the building has to get cleaned. The flowers that get arranged every week. Helping to prepare for special events. There are a myriad of ways that we can support our local church and community. Can you mentor others with wisdom and humility, helping them mature in their faith? Can you lead a life group? Or can you attend one where you can discuss God's word with others, both teaching and learning from one another? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Bible and doing Bible reading and study. Laying down our lives is going wherever God sends us when he says go. And it's using our resources to further his kingdom. The final mention is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 19, where Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." Got it. This letter would have been written not long before Paul's death in AD 67. And our heroes have remained lifelong friends and ministry partners with Paul. The Bible leaves their story here, but they are remembered for their significant contributions to the early church. Various Christian traditions actually hold that they were martyred together for their faith. And those they have also venerated them as saints. An interesting thing to note is that 4 of the 6 times this couple are spoken of in the Bible, Priscilla's name comes before Aquila. This is most unusual in a patriarchal society. So why did both Luke and Paul do this? In Greek, one of the ways to emphasize something is to place it first in the list. It gives it prominence. And it was done to highlight Priscilla and her position and value and to draw attention to her. She was most likely the leader of the house church which met in their home, taking a prominent role in ministry. She taught and mentored along with Aquila. Their story highlights the active participation of women in the early Christian church. Here at Cornerstone, we're blessed that both men and women have equal opportunity to be involved in leadership. But unfortunately, that's still not the case everywhere. And Priscilla was probably one of just a few, of many other women who probably led house churches around the country. Priscilla and Aquila are real heroes of the faith. They're just two ordinary people like ourselves, but they play an extraordinary role in the advancement of God's kingdom. They trusted in God's divine guidance and care, enduring hardship, displacement, and danger, yet they remained faithful, serving God wherever they were and strengthening the early church. They worked side by side, serving as a team, and they worked in partnership with others, using their resources to support ministries. They opened up their home as a meeting place in the church, for a church, demonstrating practical hospitality and building Christian community. They mentored and taught others in humility and truth. And they were courageous, risking their lives for Paul in the cause of Christ. We're now going to come around the communion table. And I'm reminded that Jesus gave us his all. And he willingly laid down his life for us, that we might be friends with the Almighty, grafted into his family. If we can hand the elements around, and as they come around, I want you to use this time to reflect on what this actually feels like, to know that Jesus loves you so much that he did everything necessary to have you as a brother or sister, to make you part of the family so that you could spend eternity with him.
Oh,
Let Jesus love on you this morning. God, what can you do to follow his example? How does he want you to lay down your life for others so that they can come and be part of the family too? Bible says that to those who have been given much, much is would you stand with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, for your love that knew no bounds, that led you to the cross. And we thank you that when you went, you didn't leave us bereft, but you sent us the Holy Spirit to be our guide and to be with us constantly. And Lord, we're so grateful. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us here, Lord, you'd show us how we can lay down our lives, what it is you want from each one of us. Many probably are already doing so. I pray they'd be encouraged in what they're doing. And for those that don't know, that Lord, you'd lead them and guide them. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to follow your example so that others might know Christ too. Just eat and drink together with a faithful heart. Go and be a hero of the faith. It's not just for the few. Every single person here. When we live out our faith in action, we're heroes of the faith too.